Continuing in our series on membership has its privileges, and we've been talking about how we have all these privileges that God has given us. And you know, we often see them as duties or obligations, but they're the key to finding life and to discovering the joy and the peace that Christ has for us. And today we're going to look at the privilege to teach and to serve, which we believe is something that God calls of us as disciples of Christ. And our text is from John chapter 13. Verses 1 through 17, and I invite you to follow along as we read from God's Word. Is that in your way? A little bit better? There you go. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." May God's blessing be on the reading of his word this evening. You know, back when I was in college, many, many, many years ago, I had a variety of different teachers, and you know how it kind of goes. Some of the teachers I liked more than others, right? You have that same experience in school probably, and some of the classes I enjoyed more than others. But I also had, when I was in college, a coach. Oh, you know what? It's still sitting in here, isn't it? I'm like, I've got power, the green light's on, right? There we go. I had a coach. Yeah, I'm not sure which one looks more like me, the coach or me as the runner, right? You know, believe it or not, I ran in college. Now, Eureka College was not noted for its dominating track program. In fact, we didn't even have a track. We sometimes went to the high school and we used the street in Eureka. In fact, track was a sport that really hardly showed up on the radar, but there was a program. And for a year and a half, I was part of that program. But after a year and a half, I kind of lost my motivation. Now, I can't say that the coach was a bad guy. I mean, he was nice enough. But too often, I would come to practice simply to hear, go and run 6 miles, and then by the time I returned, he was gone. There was nobody there. And I think, well, what if I twisted my ankle on the side of the road or had an injury? And, you know, I just never really felt a part of the team. I was the only distance runner, and I just never felt part of the team. Now, on the other hand, I had a high school coach. You know, you could kind of see him in the little red square there if you have really good eyes, right? And I had a high school coach, and him, well, he made specific workouts and routines, and as long as anyone was there, he was there. And on the night before a big race, he would have us over for dinner. And he would tell us who to watch out for, you know, who to maybe set a pace with. He would have goals for us to shoot for. And he was concerned about what was happening in our lives. Specifically, he was concerned about whether we were seeing any girls. He said, they'll just slow you down. In fact, that might be why we had dinner at his house the night before a big race, right? He said, they just slow you down. Now, let me ask you, who do you think I learned more from? My high school coach. You know, in fact, we're even friends on Facebook, right? And they've made a donation to Network Christian Church. We're not in contact frequently, but we still love to see each other when we do. You know, we would call each other friends these days. You know, and on the other hand, I asked Amanda, I can't even remember what the high school coach's name or the college coach's name was. Lasting impact that he made on my life, I suppose, right? You know, thus far we have looked at various aspects of discipleship that we feel can be and should be expected in those who call themselves members of Jesus' church. And what we've been trying to talk about is, you know, it's not about being a member of Network as much as it's being a member of the body of Christ, the church that belongs to our Lord and our Savior. And so we've looked at some of these things that we've called privileges, and we've talked about praying daily. And, you know, this is the privilege to approach God, and we talked about studying diligently. You know what? I messed up. I was going to quiz you guys on these things. I guess I'm being nice today, right? So we talked about study diligently and the privilege we have to learn the mind of God and worship weekly. You know, that privilege we have to be aware of God's presence in our lives. Now, we'll be a little bit tricky here. How about last week? Anybody remember what we talked about last week? Give generously because it's a privilege to give. It's a privilege to give. Well, today we're going to turn our attention to teach boldly and to serve joyfully. And the reason why we're combining two together is because I have to do it to squeeze everything in before Easter. All right, I'll just be honest with you. You know, between this series and the 40 days in the Word, it's the only way to get it all in before Easter. And these two seem like a good combination to put together. So teaching boldly and serving joyfully. And then next week we're going to finish up with love abundantly and talk about the privileges of all these things. But I kind of listen to that phrase, and I think about teach boldly. And, you know, that might conjure up some images in your mind, and perhaps some of the images that might conjure up may not be that helpful, and it might be negative. And, you know, you think of teach boldly, and maybe you think about that person that's in your face. You know? That person that's just always hammering you and yelling at you, and that person who's drilling you and lecturing you, and no comments from the family over there, right? You know, that person that's just always in your face. You know, some people have the image of the church today that way, don't they? They don't think of the church as a body of people who are loving and giving and sharing. They think about all the things the church stands against and not the things the church stands for. Well, I want to pose for you that teaching boldly is not that kind of picture, nor is it the picture of the nun with the ruler. Maybe, you know, I think we've had some that grew up in the Catholic Church, maybe some Catholic schools, right? It's not that picture of the nun with the ruler either. This is the truth. Like it or not, you will believe it, right? Or another possibility is that we simply think of perhaps teachers, professors, maybe coaches, pastors. You know, sometimes we get the image in our mind that teaching is connected with a title or a position. But let me tell you, a title or a position does not make a good teacher. And let's face it, you've learned more from some than others in your life. And some of the people you've learned from haven't been teachers at all by the sense of a title, have they? They've been people that you've watched. People that you saw give of themselves. People who made an impact upon your lives. And what's the difference between those that, well, we might take a thing or two from and those that we truly learn from? You know, one simply taught. Though sometimes that might be disputable about whether they teach, right? But the effective teacher taught with a servant's heart, didn't they? They taught with a servant's heart. You could tell that they cared. You know, I learned a lot from my high school coach. And my life is different because of my high school coach. Not merely because of what he said, but also because of what he did. You see, teaching and serving, they kind of go hand in hand. In fact, a willingness to serve often opens the door to teach. You know, there's a saying, and I don't know where it goes back to, but they don't know how much you, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Do they? Teaching and serving, they kind of go hand in hand. And serving kind of helps open the door for effective teaching. But sometimes we might think, well, why bother? I mean, teaching is hard work, isn't it? You know teachers, right? Teaching is hard work, and serving is putting somebody else ahead of myself. I mean, there's so many things that I want to do, and so many things I'd like to see, and so many ways I could think to spend money on me. Well, that might be your argument, right? I'm sorry, I'm just not a spender, right? I thought maybe people wouldn't believe that one. See, this is when you ad lib and you get yourself in trouble, correct? But serving means putting somebody else ahead of myself. Why would I want to bother with that? Well, let me let you in on a secret. I can guarantee that the cost of my high school coach in terms of time and energy and even money far exceeded anything my college coach ever did. But I can also tell you that the joy he reaped from knowing he made a difference in the lives of his team was far beyond anything my college coach ever experienced. I bet Lisa could say something very similar in all the ways that she served and the thank you letters that she's gotten from military personnel and the people who have said, this is what you've done for me. It's a privilege for teaching and serving, isn't it? In verse 17, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Do you kind of catch that promise? And as we think about this text, as we talk about it today, he says, you will be blessed. Now, I read that to mean that the benefits outweigh the cost. And so once again, as we look at the life of discipleship, we're not really talking about duties and obligations and things that we need to check off a checklist. Well, I served today, or I was a greeter today, or I gave my testimony, or I helped with communion, or I went on this outreach project. But we're talking about privileges, things that bring life, things that bring joy and bring reward. And so consider for a moment what transpires in our text. In verses 4 and 5, it says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, the disciples, they must have been scratching their heads, and they're thinking, he lost it. I mean, let's think about what the disciples are experiencing in this moment. They must be thinking, you know, this man that we respect, we've been following him, he's got all this wonderful teaching, you know, perhaps he's even the Messiah and the Son of God. He's lost it. Because proper etiquette taught that a guest, upon their arrival, would have their feet washed by a slave, not the teacher. Some would even go so far as to say that it had to be a Gentile slave because it was even too humiliating of a task for a Jewish slave. So some would say it even needed to be a Gentile slave and not a Jew. And yet here's Jesus, their master and their teacher, getting down to wash their feet. And through his words, Jesus explained what he did. That's teaching. And through what he did, that serving, he gave validity to his words. You know, it wasn't too much before this scene that the disciples were having a little argument. You know, they did that too. You know, go back to the first church, they had conflicts, they had problems, yeah. They were arguing, and if you look at the text, what you find out they're arguing about is they had this little thing going, it's called competition, and they were wondering, well, who's the greatest? And some of them were even saying, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit on your right and on your left? And so the disciples, they kind of became indignant, and they were arguing about who is the greatest amongst them. And Jesus said, well, whoever wants to be great must serve. Whoever wants to be first must be last. So he was teaching them about serving. And then he followed that up by getting down and serve. Now, let me ask you, which lesson lasted longer with them? I imagine this made an impact on their lives forever. You know, teaching isn't enough if they don't see a servant's heart. And serving isn't enough if they don't understand why. When we do our outreaches, you know, the donuts and the popcorn and, and all these other little, the reverse trick-or-treating when we went around the houses. And well, we've done all these things. You know, we've always done it with the message that we do it because of God's love. Because otherwise, they're just going to think, we lost it. We got a screw loose, you know. What are these people doing on my front porch? And what are these people doing just giving away free items? Well, see, we're teaching through our serving, aren't we? We're saying, we just want to share with you a piece of God's love. We want to make visible for you a God who cares for you. And so the words and the deeds, they go hand in hand. You know, to teach and to serve, it's the privilege to live for something, to live for someone that's greater than yourself. To know that your life counts and that you're making a difference that goes beyond the life that you lead. You know, when I ran in high school, it wasn't simply about doing the best for me. I was kind of a competitive guy anyway, so, I mean, I wanted to do the best for me, but it was also about the team. You didn't want to let the team down. And I remember my senior year, we was in state in the two-mile relay, and our slow leg was really slow that day. I mean, really slow that day. Knocked us down to eighth place. We were looking for first place visit. We were striving for first place that year. And you know, he ran a weak leg, and it let the team down. It wasn't just about him. It's about being part of the team. You know, we want to do our best because we're doing something for something beyond ourselves. You know, you might consider all the commitment and sacrifice that's been made by, say, the Giants and the Patriots. You know, they might have a game going on today, right? Consider all the sacrifices they've made because they weren't just playing. It wasn't just about individual players, was it? It's about giving themselves to the team. And it's about somebody making that block so that somebody else can run the ball down the field. Or a player can get open, right? But they were living and they were doing something for something greater than themselves. And that's why they're where they're at today. Now, how much greater was it to be to live not for an earthly coach, but to live for God on high? Now, if you look at verses 3 and 4, Jesus knew that the Father had put all these things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. I find it very interesting how we kind of get into this place where Jesus serves. Because he knows his position, doesn't he? He knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Isn't that kind of an interesting segue? He knew who he was, and he came up and served. You know, the ability to serve comes from knowing who we are, and more importantly, whose we are, and specifically that we're on God's team. And, you know, I wonder what it must have been like for Jesus to wash the feet of the one he knew would betray him. Because he knew already. I imagine he must have been tempted to give him a good hard pinch. Or to, you know, boil that water a little extra hot tonight, right? But he didn't. He served Judas just like he did the rest. And you know, the thing is as Jesus washed the rest of their feet too, he knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he knew that Thomas would doubt. And he knew that all the disciples would scatter. And that in this moment when he wanted them most and wanted them to be with him most, that they would all fall away. But he was able to do this because he lived for a purpose greater. Greater than how he felt that day. Greater than his personal wants and needs. Greater than any sense, a level of comfort. He lived for a purpose with eternity hanging in the balance. He knew he had come from God. He had authority from God. He knew he was going back to God. He was living for a larger purpose. You know, there's a privilege to serving when we know it's going beyond us. And you might watch what happens in our text in verses 6 and 7. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." You know, serving needs accompanied by teaching so that people can understand why. That they can understand why. Jesus was teaching them through his service. And we see Peter's response in verse 8. "No, no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And you know, there's more that's going on in this scene than simply washing feet, isn't there? When Christ washes us, we become united with Christ. And this doesn't mean we're perfect. And Jesus answered in verse 10. He says, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. You know, there's a sense of we've been united, we've been connected with Christ, we've been cleansed by Christ. But you know, as you walk through life, your feet get dirty. Sin happens, doesn't it? I might have all the right desires and all the right, intentions, but you know, as I walk through life, I get dirty again. But Jesus cleanses. Jesus cleanses. And we're connected to Christ. So we have a cause to live for that's greater than ourselves. We have a message to take that's greater than ourselves. There's a privilege to that, isn't there? To live for God. To share that message of Christ and what He's done for us. Now, I ran across a story. In fact, my mom emailed this to me a long time ago. I've been like hanging on to it, just like there's got to be a sermon someplace this is going to work into, right? And it's about this bagpiper, and he says, as a bagpiper, I play many gigs. And recently, I was asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was to be at a pauper cemetery in the Kentucky backcountry. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost. And being a typical man, I didn't stop for directions. I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only the diggers and crew left, and they were eating lunch. I felt badly, and I apologized to the men for being late. And I went to the site of the grave, and I looked down at the vault, and the lid was already in place. And I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches and they began to gather around. I played out my heart and soul for this man who had no family and no friends. I played like I've never played before for this homeless man. And as I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept. I wept. We all wept together. When I finished, I packed up my bagpipes and I started for my car. Though my head hung low, my heart was full. As I opened the door to my car, I heard one of the workers say, I never seen nothing like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. Apparently, I'm still lost. It's a man thing, right? The reason why I tell that story, he wasn't playing for accolades. He wasn't playing for the crowd, was he? He was playing to serve. And even though he'd made a mistake, what was he saying? He said, my heart was full. My heart was full. Because he was playing for a higher purpose. There's nothing like knowing that what you've done is larger than you. You know, when you teach and serve, it's a privilege to know that your life can make an impact. In our text, the setting is Passover. And everyone is doing what everyone does on the Passover because, you know, we're creatures of habit. And I could kind of picture the room, you know, the disciples were each sitting where they always sat because that's what good Christians do, right? And they're talking about this marvelous entry into Jerusalem and all the things that it might mean. And they're going through the routines as they've always done before. It was the Passover, and like any other Passover, nothing to set it apart. But then Jesus shows them how to leave their mark, doesn't it? In verses 14 and 15. Know that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And you might notice the primary emphasis is not what they proclaim, is it? Now, that was important for the early church, and they certainly proclaimed Christ, and they had truth, and they shared truth, and they were ministers of the Word. But here in this particular text, the emphasis is on what they do. Because I set an example for you. As I've washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. There's something about the way we live our life. You know, if we live our life in such a way, it can discredit everything we teach. Can't it? In fact, how many times have you heard, well, I don't want to go to church, it's just a bunch of hypocrites. The way we live, we life can discredit anything that we say. But it can also give emphasis to anything we say. depending on how we live our life. You know, sometimes we have a hard time saying what we need to say because the world hasn't seen what it needs to see. The body of Christ being Christ. This last Monday, I had a lady that came up to me at Four Seasons. And it was kind of slow. It was early before, you know, a lot of people coming for shakes. And she comes up to me and she says, "Do you have a minute?" Well, I said, "Well, sure." I said, what do you need? And she said, "Well, I just want you to know that you're the only one I come and buy coffee from." Well, you know, that sounds pretty good anyway. And she goes, I noticed the way that you work. She said, "You don't work like everybody else." She said, "You do it differently, and you have integrity." And she said, she told me, I want to serve the way that you serve. You know, I'm going to get a pretty big head at this point, right? And she went on and she told me about how the last year of her life has been so difficult. She's had a number of things that have happened, which I won't get into all those details and stuff. But she said, you know, whenever I would come by, you would always ask how I was doing. And she said, you know, I got to a place where I would just come and buy coffee from you just so that I would know somebody would sincerely ask how I was doing. Because you're the only person in my life that was asking. And you're the only person who cared. I thought, wow. You know, there are so many people when you serve, so many lives that you'll impact that you don't even realize you're impacting. And it's not just because you've done big and great things, is it? I simply asked her how she was doing. And I did my job with integrity. And I sought to serve and get customer service, you know. I thought, what a blessing. You know, I was blessed because I had the opportunity for her to come and actually say something. You know, so many times you don't have that privilege, do you? But to teach and serve is the privilege to live a life of impact. She talked to me for half an hour. She talked to me until somebody came to start buying shakes. Sat there and visited and shared what was going on in their life, you know. And it all happened because I was willing to serve. And you know, I felt great rewards. I was flying high all day that day. I don't remember what else happened that day. But what an encouragement. You know, whoever you may be in great things, but just as importantly in small things, and sometimes we don't pay attention to the small things, through teaching and serving, you have the privilege to impact others and to make your difference. Sometimes you'll know that difference, sometimes you won't. In verse 1, it says it was the Passover, or just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. When teaching and serving is motivated by sharing the love of Christ, there is indeed great blessing, as God provides for us the opportunity to change lives. So as Jesus kind of sums it all up with the disciples, he says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. The privilege of teaching and serving. Amen.